Blessing. What a blessing it is. Let's have a word of prayer before we get into the Word of God. Father, we thank you. We thank you this morning for everything that you are to us, Father God. I ask you now, by the power of your Holy Spirit, join with us in this service. Father, we know that it's not the Lord's Day. We know it's not Sunday, but Father, we know that we can praise you and worship you every single day. Now come and meet with us, Father God. Direct everything that's said and done in this place. Do the thing that you do best, Father. Touch hearts, open up ears. And Father, we give you the praise, honor, and glory. We ask these things in the name of our Savior. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Open up your Bibles, Christians, to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And we want to start off in verse 1. Now, there's three things that we need to look at this morning. We're talking about running the race. We're going to run the race of service. We're going to run the race of sufferings. And we're going to run the race of obedience. And we're going to look and see, God's word is clear, my friends. There's a lot of gray area in Christianity today. Well, you can do this and you can get away with that, and Christians don't necessarily have to follow that, and all that gray area. But that's not the way God has it, friends. God is clear. God is clear. He leaves nothing in the gray area. And I want to ask you something this morning. I want to ask you, when as we go through this message, say, is this me? Is this really me? Is this what I'm about? Is this what the preacher's saying? Is that right? Do I bear the mark of the Lord Jesus Christ in my life? Can I look beyond a shadow of a doubt and see the mark of the Lord Jesus Christ? Because, you know, Satan in the Antichrist, the Bible talks about in Revelation that the great imitator, the great imitator Satan, he will have his anointed one, the Antichrist. And you know what? He will have a mark also. But today, this morning, on this Labor Day, let's look inside and let's see if we have the mark. If God beyond a shadow of a doubt. I've heard Christians before say, well, you know what? I'm not quite sure if I die today, if I'd go to heaven, I'm not quite sure. I don't know about that. But today you will know for sure. This is something that we need to take to heart, friends, and realize that God will show us. Now let's look at our text here in Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, here in this portion of God's word, He's talking about a cloud of witnesses. I mean, let's talk about that cloud a little bit. Let's talk about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the one that came down from heaven and put everything aside so that you and I might have salvation one day, that we might trust in His blood and spend eternity with Him in heaven. Let's talk about Moses. Let's talk about Samuel in the Old Testament. Let's talk about all these great men of God that have done these things and sacrificed their lives for you and I, right? All these clouds of witnesses of faithful men of God. And here's the thing. The Bible says here, let us put aside the weight. What is holding you back? What is holding you back? I know what my weight was. But what is holding you back as individuals? I had a man come up to church to me the other day during the invitation. He was about 240 pounds, and he was real quiet, 240 pounds. And he says, I got something for you. I said, what'd you come up here, brother? He says, well, I don't think God can forgive me. Why not? My God can forgive anybody. Why can't He forgive you? Well, I've murdered people. I've killed many. I said, my God can forgive you. Let me show you in God's word where my God can forgive you. Let me show you that you don't have to carry that weight anymore. How many of you remember when you got saved? Anybody remember? Remember, and I don't know whether it was home or whether it was an altar, but you remember that great weight that was lifted off? You ever seen, there's a movie, I can't remember the name of it now. It's a story of John Bunyan, but it depicts him with this big old weight on his back. And it's piled up, it goes about 2 feet above his head, and it's two feet wider than he is, and he's dragging it on the ground. See, that's sin, friends. That's sin. That sin that you carry around and you say, I can't get rid of it. It's dragging me down. I can't serve God because look at my back. Look at my back. Your knees are buckling. You look like you've been riding bulls for all your life because your knees are so bowed from the weight of the sin. Let me tell you something. It don't got to be that way. It don't have to be that way. You know what this fella said? I never felt so good in all my life. He lived his life. This man was probably in his 50s. His entire life carrying that sin, friends. Carrying that burden, that weight. My goodness. Why do we do that? For what reason? Jesus died 2,000 years ago. And what did he say? My burden is light. My yoke is easy. Follow me. Get rid of that sin. See, here's the thing. Here's the thing, Christian. We're talking about getting saved here, aren't we? But there's Christians walking around still carrying that sin. There's the problem, friends. There's the problem. There's Christians that got more baggage than the unsaved do. There's Christians that are carrying more grief and anger and forgiveness. We had a fellow last Sunday that was a Jew. And he came and gave his testimony. He was a Holocaust survivor, eh? None of you have been through anything like that. He was born in a prison in Germany. He's got a picture of him on the table and them doing experiments on his brain. He's got a scar on the back of his brain. They broke all his fingers and his thumbs and he can't write. He can't write because his hands are so messed up and his knees have been broken. His spine was broken 4 or 5 different places. Born in a prison camp. And they raped and killed his mother. His father he never knew. He doesn't know what happened to him. His best friend was a 7-year-old little girl. They stuck a pistol in her mouth and shot her and killed her. Right in front of him. At 55 years old, he met Jesus Christ in a Bible preaching church. And you know what God did? You know what God did? God says, okay, you're a Jew. You're a Messianic Jew now. You know who the Messiah is. But you know what? I can't use you the way you are. I can't use you. I'm taking you back to Germany. I'm taking you back to the place where they persecuted you and killed your mother and your father and destroyed your family, where they beat on you and spit on you and made you wear a yellow star saying that you were a Jew. I'm taking you back there. Because I can't use you. And he went back. And you know what happened to him? The pressure was so great on him, he had a massive heart attack and almost died in Germany. But God wasn't done with him. Who told him to go there if it wasn't God himself? God sent him back there. And he walked around and he walked through that camp and he looked around and he seen the picture of, they have pictures there of the officers that were in charge of those prison camps. 6 million Jews were killed, my friends. 6 million Jews. You know how many that is? That's 6 times Albuquerque, New Mexico. 6 million Jews. That's a lot of death. The bodies were stacked. God knows. The smell. The incinerators. God took him back. He got him out of that hospital. Germany says, you got to go back. And he stood beside. He looked at pictures of all these men. that were responsible for killing all these people. And he looked and he looked and he looked. And God says, you know what? You need to forgive that man right there. And he went to the next one. You need to forgive him. You need to forgive him. You need to forgive him. One by one. See, that's how God works, friends. Because God can't use a heart that is filled with hatred and wrath. It's impossible. And he said he broke down. He broke down in that prison camp. He was with his daughter, his sons and daughters. And he says he broke down and he fell on his hands and knees and says, I got it, God. I got it. You know what? That weight ain't there anymore. It's gone. You've set me free. I'm not angry anymore. And he says he got up and he ran outside. And the first German he said, he grabbed hold of him and said, I forgive you. I love you. Jesus loves you. And you know what? He stirred up such a ruckus that all the Germans says, I need to know this Yeshua that you're talking about. I want to know this Yeshua. Why are you so happy? You're a Jew. They couldn't understand. They couldn't understand. And friends, he got rid of that weight. Now he's an evangelist for Jesus Christ. And he goes teaching about forgiveness. There's a lot of Christians out there that struggle with that, friends. Hey, there's a lot of Christians that are saying, well, they've talked bad about me. I ain't going to be the one to straighten things out. They need to tell me they're sorry. How many times have you heard that? No. No, that's not the case at all. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. God has something for each and every one of us, friends. You know what? I tell my church all the time. I tell my church, the pastor isn't going to build the church. Pastor isn't going to build the church. That's not our responsibility. We're to teach, we're to preach, and we're to shepherd the flock. The church is built by you. The church is built by you telling somebody in your family, hey, come and meet Jesus. You know what? We're not perfect. My goodness, don't look at us as a perfect church because there ain't one. And if you do find one, don't go there because you'll mess it up. Ain't no such thing, friends. It's impossible. The church is built by the people of God. You are the church, friends. You are the church. Hey, I think it's time to get busy. How many of you are happy with the way our country's going today? My goodness, we are changing faster than we can keep track of. Every single day we see news and news and news about how our country is turning its back on our God. But we can vote all we want, put the politicians in office that we think will do right. But you know what? It's ultimately up to the Church of Jesus Christ. Right. And that's you and I, friends. That's you and I telling people, you know what? Hold on. It doesn't have to be that way. I can show you a Savior that can take all that weight off. I can show you a Savior that will take that burden off. I can show you a Savior that will set you free. Do you bear the mark? Are you willing to sacrifice your time and your life? See, God is a God of choices. He gives everybody that opportunity. 18 years ago, when I received Jesus Christ as Savior, I would have never thought He would have made me a preacher. Maybe He's got the same thing for you. God knows we need Him. God knows we need them. Where are all the young preachers? Where are all the ones that are coming up and say, I want to serve God. I want to follow God. I want to do this. I'm excited. I love the Lord. Boy, those are hard to find, aren't they? They ain't out there. You know why? Because they got to have that new Camaro that just came out. I got to get a job that pays me $25 an hour. Something wrong there, friends. Because let me tell you something, in case you don't know this. If God has a hold of your heart, He's got a hold of your wallet too. Did you know that? See, it goes hand in hand. If you belong to the Lord, this belongs to Him too. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. My friends, I want to ask you this. How can we fail? We can fail if we choose to go without God. We can choose if we fail to go without our author and our finisher. But if He is with us, we cannot fail. It's impossible. It's impossible. How much weight are we carrying? What is causing our knees to buckle? What is causing us not to serve God the way that we should? Who, for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. Jesus bore the mark. He bore the mark, friends. He said, Father God, I'll do Your will. I'll take that cross. I'll die for all mankind. I'll be spit upon. I'll take that shame. I'll do whatever You have me to do, Father. And He bore that mark, friends. He shed that precious blood that takes that weight of sin away. And yet, what do we do for Him? What do we do for Him? I mean, it's a struggle. I get so frustrated and we get in service and people are coming in 10 minutes late. And say, or we put our jobs before Him. Oh, I got to be there at work on time at 8 o'clock Monday morning. I got to be there on time. Or my boss is going to get mad. What about the Creator of the universe? What about Jesus Christ? The Bible says it's our reasonable service. What about it? What is that weight? What holds us down? I got to have a bigger car. I got to have a fancier house. I got to have this. I got to have that. No, you need Jesus Christ, friends. You need to put the Lord where He needs to be. And that is number one in your life. Verse 3, for consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. For you have not resisted unto blood, verse 4, striving against sin. Now, you don't have to turn here, but I'm going to turn to Jeremiah real quick. And I want to share this with you. This is in Jeremiah 12:5. See, Christians today, my friends, they don't want to suffer. They don't want to give their time. They don't want to give their efforts. But let me show you what Jeremiah 12, verse 5 says here. If thou hast run with the footmen, and thou hast and they have wearied thee, then how canst they contend with the horses? And if then in the land of peace, wherein you trusteth, they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? You know what I want to say about that? I want to say this, friends. I want to say this. Our country is headed on a downward spiral. No doubt about it. It's obvious. It's obvious. I remember hearing about churches that when converts, new people, would give their lives and come to Christ, they would empty out their houses. They would take the music that defiled God. They would take the idols that defiled God. They would do all these things. And they would be concerned. Parents would be concerned about their kids and say, hey, this is a bad influence. I don't like that guy you're hanging around with. This is related to him. That's related to him. And they would take all those things and they would throw them in the middle of the church outside and burn them, no matter what the cost was. They would destroy all those things. Why aren't the churches doing that today? Huh? Because you know why? Parents believe that they need to be their children's friend. They need to be their buddy. That's not what God says. You know what the Bible says? Spare the rod, spoil the child. If you don't love your child, if you don't care for him, let him go. Let him do whatever they please. See, rebellion is the outcome of parents who have relinquished control. I was taught that by an assistant pastor, Brother Gordon Rogers. He would say that all the time, and I've never ever forgot it. You want a rebellious child? Let go of the reins. Do whatever you want. Let him go. Let him go. The way our country is heading today, Christians, listen to me. We have a choice to serve Jesus Christ today, don't we? We're limited. I mean, we can't go to court and say, I love Jesus. Can't go to school. We can't pray in our schools anymore. I love Jesus. Hey, they'll call you in and your parents in and say, you can't do that anymore. But it's going to get worse. If you're running hard now and you're tired, just like Jeremiah said, Jeremiah was preaching, says, hey, you think it's bad now? You ain't seen nothing yet. You know what? While you have the opportunity, you best grab hold of what God has for you today. You best get hooked on to the stone, to the rock, if you will, being Jesus Christ. You better get that foundation firm, because you know what? In the last days, you won't have the power to stand, friends. You won't have the power to stand. Take the opportunity that we have today to grab on to the Lord Jesus Christ, because it ain't going to get no easy. You know what the Bible says? Them that endure will be saved. Them that endure will be saved. The ones that persevere, the ones that go on, the ones that press on, the ones that fight the good fight, friends. Many in the last day will say, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Did we not break bread before thee, Lord? Did I not do this? Well, there's going to be a lot of braggers there. Look at the big churches that we built, Lord God. We had 5,000 in our church. Yeah, and there was three of them that were saved, that were real. My wife and I, let me tell you something. My wife and I went to a church up in the Heights on a Wednesday night. We walked in. I said, I can't wait to hear the Word of God. Can't wait to hear the Word of God. It was probably a 2,000 or 3,000 member church. And we sat down and people were real friendly. They come up and shook our hands and we walked around and let us give you a tour and all this fun stuff. And we sat down and I took my Bible and opened it up and I said, I wonder what he's going to preach about. I wonder what he's going to tell me about Jesus that I don't know. And we sat down there. And a lady comes up to the altar and says, well, pastor decided we're just going to have a song service through the whole service. And I thought, I need the Word of God. The songs and praises are wonderful. But you know what? The church is about the Word of God. And I thought to myself, Lord, have mercy. I said, honey, let's go. Let's go. Let's take a tour of the church. I don't mind singing, but I want to hear the Word of God. And we took a walk down one of the hallways and we walked by this place and the closer we got to it, there was all kinds of racket going on. And I thought, this ought to be interesting. What's this? And they had a little window that was about eye level. And we looked inside there and the youth were jumping around and singing and playing banging stuff and it was dark. It was almost pitch black. There was just stage lights. And there was probably 200 or 300 kids in there. And God knows what they were doing. God only knows. And you know what the sign on the door said? The sign on the door said, Youth Explosion. And I said, that's what was going on, all right. They said it perfect. There was an explosion going on in there. Didn't see any adults, no supervision, but total chaos. Is that what our churches have become? What are we going to the house of the Lord for? Is it to learn to be a musician? Or is it to learn to be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ? What is it, Christians? What is it? Why is it? I want to share something with you in Psalms. We're talking about the mark. Do you bear the mark? This is in Psalms 37:37. The Bible says, God's word says, mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. Mark the perfect man. Do you have peace? Do you have peace? I've seen Christian people, my friends, that struggle with cancer. And yet they have peace. I've seen Christians at the point of death, and yet they have peace. You know why? Because they bear the mark of the Lord Jesus Christ. No greater thing. When you lay your head down at night, and you can sleep, that's the mark of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul says, I press toward the mark of thy high calling in Christ Jesus. I press toward that mark. Nothing will stop me. I got rid of that weight a long time ago on the road to Damascus. It's no longer there. I press toward the mark. My life, I don't care what I've learned in the past. I don't care that I was taught before the feet of Gamaliel, the great theologian. I care about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That is the gospel, my friends. That is the truth. That is what eliminates the weight. That takes away the weight. I press toward the mark. And I want to share something with you before I close. This has been something that's very special to me. And every time preachers get downcast times, sometimes. Do you know that? We get discouraged. We get upset because the flock just isn't doing what it ought to be doing. And sometimes, you know, the leadership is responsible. But my wife knows. She looks at me, honey, what's the matter? I'm saying, you know what? We're just not doing enough. We're just not doing enough. Yeah, we're having church 3 or 4 times a week and we're visiting and we're doing this. But you know what? There's more that we need to be doing. It's never enough, my friends. It's never enough. You could serve God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and it's never enough. We have a missionary in Mexico, Brother Louis Kaler. He gets up at 5 o'clock in the morning and doesn't end his day till about 1 a.m. in the morning. 7 days a week. And you know what? It's not enough. It's not enough. Today, Christians think 1 hour of going to God's house and listening to the preacher is enough service. It's not that way, friends. It's not that way. It's not that way at all. Let me tell you about my king. My king is a king of the Jews. He's the king of Israel. He's the king of the righteous. He's the king of the ages. He's the King of heaven. He's the King of glory. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. That's my King. I wonder, do you know Him? My King is a sovereign King. No means of measure can determine His limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's impartially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's Son. He's the sinner Savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He's the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient Savior. I wonder, do you know him today? He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and he sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble and he blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. And he repairs the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meager. I wonder, do you know him? He is the key to knowledge. He is the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doctrine to deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. And he's the highway of holiness. He is the gateway to glory. Do you know him? His life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you. But he's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. You can't live. You can't outlive him. You can't live without him. The Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him. And the graves couldn't hold him. Yes, that's my King. That's my King. Don't reject, Christians, the grace of God. Don't put away the grace of God. Receive while it is yet day, the Bible says. For the night cometh. Nighttime is coming, friends. I don't know about you, but I know about me. Not all my family is saved. I've got brothers and sisters that need to know Jesus Christ. How about you? How about you? Do they see in you the faith? Do they see in you the mark for the Lord Jesus Christ? Because if they don't, maybe somebody else needs to go tell them about Jesus Christ that bears the mark. Maybe that's what's holding you back. Maybe they look at you and say, oh, all they are is a complaining old Christian. Who wants to be like them? They got more baggage than I do. Who wants to be like them? If that's what serving Jesus Christ is, I don't want no part of that. But if they see in you one that serves God in the house of God, and I'm not talking about coming to church, because service is much more than that. Service is following God. Service is going out soul winning, telling people about Jesus Christ. Service is praying, and service is walking and helping and guiding and giving and so many other things. Anybody can come to church and sit in a pew. That's not service, friends. That's not service. Matter of fact, that's not even obedience. That's not it, brothers and sisters. Do they see in you the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ? Esau. Remember the story of Esau in the Old Testament? He rejected the grace that was given him. And he sold his birthright. He sold his birthright and gave up the inheritance. He gave up what was set before him. Don't be an Esau. Grab hold today while it is yet day. Bear the mark of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Ernie.